Blog Talk Radio.
Again, Thursday. This is Jeremy Speaks on Everything, episode 11. I would like to thank all my listeners. I would like to thank everyone who has contributed to my ongoing motivation to keep this channel going. I come here every day now and do a show a day, and it's only because I know people are listening to what I'm saying. So to those people, I want to say thank you. To any new listeners, I want to say welcome. Nice to have you. I'm glad you took time out of your day to listen to what I had to say. As I always state at the beginning of these shows, males of African origin that look like me, same hue, same color, kind of got the same kink to the hair, let's start speaking to each other. We better start speaking to each other because we're the only ones who can defend ourselves, come up with a way to save ourselves because nobody else is looking out for us. So we need to do it. And it starts by speaking to each other. Like, share, subscribe, comment, criticize. I'm on all social media, Facebook, Instagram, not Snapchat. I'm too old for that. I am on Twitter. I'm on a couple of other places. But you can drop by, hit me up in my inbox if you want to call the show one week. And speaking of calling the show, if you ever have a viewpoint that you haven't heard discussed, if you agree or disagree with something that is spoken on, feel free to call in every Thursday at 6:30 p.m. here on Jeremy Speaks on Everything. Now, I would like to state this yesterday, but for some people who may not listen to my shows Monday through Friday, I want to state this again. I will be sharing excerpts from certain shows on different various sites that help me build my following and build my audience. Podbean, Buzzsprout, of course, Blog Talk. Facebook is a really good one, too. Twitter, I'm going to start. Instagram, I'm going to restart. And, of course, you can find all of these episodes of Jeremy Speaks on Everything on my YouTube channel, which is the Negro Sports League. It's a play on words. It's funny. I think it's funny. So, call-in number for anyone who is new or anyone who is an old listener who may want to call in one day, like I keep asking my mother to. That call-in number is 347-994-3320. I want to say that again for any new listeners or anyone who didn't get it. That number is 347-994-3320. Now, yesterday I did my Dynasties on Egypt. That's the series that I'm starting. I did the second episode, which it turned out better than the first. I did post the first episode because I want to post my mistakes as well as my victories. So I did post that. Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, I will be doing the ancient dynasties of Egypt because I'm interested in the history of that, so I will be doing that. But every Tuesday and Thursday, I will be doing Jeremy Speaks on Everything. So I want to explain my broadcast scheduling to you, and I have a caller today. It's last Thursday's caller, and we had a discussion about the criminal justice system. Now, today we're going to talk a little bit more about something in the same vein, but it's more focused towards the police side of things. I think he wants to discuss a couple of things. My caller last week, who I told everyone was getting married in September, was my brother, Barry Strong. I would like to thank him for taking time out of his workday to call in to chit-chat with his brother online about something he is passionate about. Now, I will be posting a video to my channel immediately following this episode, and I would like to really just harp on the fact that I'm so grateful that people are listening. Now, I did do a video that I have dropped, and I want to plug it right quick. It's a video about how the Spanish Inquisition created the myth of race, and it's on my YouTube channel, and you should really check it out because it's powerful to know that where these thoughts and where these words and where these ideas have always surfaced from. But it's even crazier when you go and find out that at one point in time, none of this, things like this didn't exist. So I would ask any listener who cares about such things to go and check that out on my YouTube channel. Also, I meant to do it last week, but I'm going to do it this week. I have a Teespring store. I've been saying it all week. I have a Teespring store where I am selling a T-shirt that says, I spoke on it. And me saying that all men of African origins should speak to each other goes hand in hand with that. See, at Teespring, once you've done the I Spoken Challenge, and I've mentioned this before, which is to speak to 5 people that look like you throughout the course of a day, tag them on social media or whatever, you go buy this shirt, and once you purchase the shirt, you post a picture of it, and people will know, hey, he took the I Spoke Challenge. That's just a challenge right now for males of African origin. I think that that's where it starts. So that's the I Spoke Challenge. You can purchase that shirt at Teespring, and I'm going to continue to plug it as I do the challenge immediately following this radio show. Because, like I said, I meant to do it last week, but I kind of got caught up in what I was doing. But that's at teespring.com/Jeremy Speaks. I want to thank anyone who dares to take me up on this challenge. That will be wonderful. I think us speaking to each other and challenging each other and informing each other and taking care of each other is what's best for the continuation of us as people. And, you know, you may agree or may disagree, but I think it's important to me to do that. What I should do right now, right before my caller chimes in, is to give you an idea that I had. Now, I've researched the subject of Black Wall Street in Tulsa, Oklahoma, where they burned the town to the ground. And I was thinking to myself, maybe it could happen again. Why is it not possible for us to do something similar again? It just has me thinking, if we did it once, could we do it again? Nobody expects us to be able to do stuff like that. Nobody expects us to basically survive in our own community. Everyone wants to come in and take stuff. That's just something to think about. I do have a book that I recommend everyone go to the library and check out. It is called On Tyranny, which is 20 Lessons from the 20th Century, where it explains how the founding fathers tried to protect us from the tyranny that overcame democracy back in ancient times. Today, our political order faces new threats, not unlike the 20th century. We are no wiser from the Europeans who saw democracy yield to fascism, Nazism, or communism. Our one advantage is that we might learn from their experience. And that is an excerpt from the book called On Tyranny. And I think that Jane Elliott had a video where she recommended that somebody should, you know, go check this book out. And it's a good read so far. It's not a very long book, and I'm pretty sure you could probably download it at audible.com. But I recommend that book to anyone just, you know, as a good read, you know, to inform yourself. You know, information is power, and the more you know, the less people can take from you. So once again, I want to give out that call-in number. For anyone new that's listening, that is 347-994-3320. And I would like to delve off into a little bit of, I don't want to call it Black history. I'll call it history. But I found a new subject, the Moors, where I read that during the 10th century, they had one of the most important cities in the world. They had street lighting, 50 hospitals with running water, 300 public baths, 500 mosques, and 70 libraries. And that's what got me thinking about the Black Wall Street thing. You know, I feel like that at some point in time in history, men who had darker hued skin overcame their circumstances. These people, the Moors, they went through the Spanish Inquisition where they were, that once again, you have to go and check out that particular episode where I talk about what happened during the Spanish Inquisition and where the idea and the myth of race was created from. Because 70 libraries, 300 public baths, and 50 hospitals with running water, that is incredible. They had extensive knowledge of irrigation and the cultivation of crops. So I guess irrigation came in handy when using plumbing, you know, and they go to school for agriculture or anything like that. So I don't really know, but I would like to know. And considering I am on a journey, these people were Muslim inhabitants for 700 years in Italy, Malta, the Iberian Peninsula, and North Africa. Anyway, just wanted to point that out today. Now, like I stated before, on last week's show, me and my brother, we had a discussion about how he viewed the justice system from the inside out, or the correctional system from the inside out. And I think we're going to probably delve a little bit deeper into that. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to welcome you all to my brother speaking once again on Blog Talk Radio with me. I would like for him to come on and say how he's doing. Everybody, this is my brother. Hello, brother. How are
hello,
you?
Hello. I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm excellent. Now, for those who may be first-time listeners, kind of give us a real quick background on exactly who you are and what you bring into the table.
Well, I'm a career firefighter now. I'm a volunteer where I live. And I used to work in the jail and prison system. So I'm getting married next month for the rest of my life. So
they only give you so many sound effects on here. That's the one I got. So now we spoke a little bit earlier, and you mentioned something that you wanted to speak about. So would you mind telling our listeners what exactly it is you want to speak about?
I want to finish off from last week where I want to see change in the jails and prison systems. And secondly, I want to talk about the generational family that occurs in law enforcement and what is passed down.
All right. Well, we'll start with the prison reform or the justices. I guess you call it jail and prison reform. And then we'll go into the generational power that families hold when they become police officers.
Yeah. We can go.
All right. All right. Well, we'll start with the jail and prison reform. Now, of course, the justice system needs to be overhauled. Everyone knows that. But the justice system isn't about justice. It's about punishment. So if you were in a position to change something, what exactly is it that you would want to change?
If I was in power to change the way the system is, it's like what you said about law enforcement. It's the same with the jail system. You got to cut down the roots. You got to get down to the roots to see what the problem is, and then cut the roots off to start over.
Right.
So, if the roots are bad, that means the branches are bad. So.
Right.
But what I wanted to see if I was in charge and in power to change things in the prison jails, I would be more informed to rehabilitating the people that come to jail, see why they come to jail, and what's the reason why they do what they do. That way I'd be more in tune to take care of them instead of just sitting them in there and letting them sit in the cell or work 8 hours out of the day and come back and sit in the cell and do nothing all day. So I would change the way that system is towards the people that's in prison and jail.
Now, you do realize that by doing that, you're cutting profits for you know, like, they're not interested in figuring out what the problem is, because that's called job security. If you rehabilitate people like you say you do, they don't come back. You don't have an industry. So you would run afoul of people who, like the telephone companies who supply jail, or the clothes, or the industries that rely on prison labor. How would you go about, I mean, because you're going to make a lot of enemies when you do stuff like that. How do you go about curbing that? Because we all know that prisons and jails are for profit. What's your idea around that?
Well, the judge and prison system, of course, you make enemies everywhere you go. Somebody don't like you. So I tell people all the time, it doesn't matter what people say or talk. It doesn't matter what people say or how they look at you. They're going to talk about it the way you're dead or alive. So if it causes enemies, that means I must be doing something right. And for it to make a change, to afford to make a change in our communities and our nation and our and where we live and how we live, it starts at home first. But if it's not right at the home first, then it ain't gonna be right when you get to the jail, because it starts the way the jail and law firm works. It starts at the top. If the top is bad and rotten and all that, all the employees down there, no matter how many people come, it's more bad to outweigh the good. So if the head is bad, then that means the whole department's bad. Even though it might be some good officers in there, if you look at it in the whole, they're going to think that the whole department is bad.
And that's how they characterize us as males of African origin. It doesn't matter what we happen to look like. It doesn't matter what we happen to be. They're going to judge all of us based on the actions of a few of us. So I kind of, yes. I mean, hey, you're going to kind of take that poison when you take the job. So.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that people are inherently bad. I think that, like we stated last week, if you make a mistake, you shouldn't be punished for it for the rest of your life. But if you are punished for it, the place that they are sending you shouldn't be just punishment. You know, like that's like when you're a kid and you do something bad. It's like if you did one thing bad as a kid and got your ass whooped for it every day for 10 to 15 years, just got beat like the shit beat. There's my PG rating. You just got the shit beat out of you every day of the week for one thing you did 6 months ago. That's and when you got discipline going on with no corrective measures to change that, there's nothing to change. But have you ever considered running for mayor?
No.
Why not?
Because I don't get into politics because politics is wrong in every stage of form, and no matter how you look on it, it's wrong from the very beginning. So the government was never for the people, the government was never for the people, because if it's for the people, there would be no Democratic and Republican. It would be one group getting it right for the nation, for the people in the nation. That's my opinion.
This is a corporation, and this is the corporation of the United States of America. We are a business, and we are bought and continually sold. Just like prisons are for punishment because people want money, you know, people pass that same mind frame down that, oh, these people must be bad. Now, you mentioned earlier, I'm segueing off into the generational part where the cops pass, I guess, somebody in the family becomes a cop, and then they have kids, and then that son becomes a cop, or that son becomes a judge or a lawyer. Is that kind of what you meant by generational power?
Yes, because I'm gonna say back in the 1960s and 1970s, you can have somebody's grandfather join the law enforcement, raise up in rank, get high up above, and then he have four children. And then he teach his children how to do it right. And they become lawyers, and they become your law enforcement. They become your judges. And then the grandfather might not be wrong, but he passed it down. And the system, when they joined, the system corrupted them. And they doing the wrong, and therefore it started passing on down. So you can have somebody their grandfather was in the riots back in Alabama. He'd be high ranking officer up there, and he could teach his children, which is the lawyers and judges and law enforcement officers. He'd teach his children the wrong things in law enforcement to do, and passing on down to so and on down to the power. And And so that, I'm trying to word it correctly.
Right, don't take quote time, me, man. Please. Take time. Get it out. I'm not quoting. Opinion. I want to throw out this disclaimer. Opinions and views expressed on Jeremy Speaks on Everything are the opinions and views of the participants in the conversation. These are not facts. These are just merely conversations between two people. All right. Now that I've thrown that out there, you can go ahead.
But you can have somebody that's in power. Teach them what you know about it, how to get away with stuff. And they could pass it on down to their families and say, around this time, you know how bad law enforcement is now, or how the media looks at law enforcement. And I'm not saying all officers are bad, but they say they could say that my grandfather was in law enforcement, and then I could say my father was in law enforcement too, and so I passed it down to the son or daughter that I had, and then they're going to pass it down to their children. And just because your grandfather was in there and who he was in law enforcement, that gives you power in the system, in the law enforcement system. And just because of who he was, you just get it right away just because of who he was. You ride the coattail of him. And
well, I mean, that's kind of something we need to take. We need to, as Killmonger said in Black Panther, "I learned from my oppressors." We kind of need to delve off into, and not trying to say that it's all about race, because it's not, but we kind of need to steal certain things. You know, they already accused us all of being thieves and shit, so we need to steal certain things they've done to take over places that they've taken over. And I mean, honestly, I'm not stealing it. It's what's taught to me. Like, these are the ways of the land that I live in, therefore I must live like the Romans do when I'm in Rome. Anyway, I feel like we could do something similar. Yeah, it'll be a lot harder. We'd have to work twice as hard and get half the credit. But we're not, like you said, generational. We wouldn't be doing it for us. We're doing it for the children's children later on in life. See, that's something that we need to do. Now, I mean, it's just a suggestion. I'm going to throw it out there. Like I said, it's my opinion. But, yeah, we need to do something similar, though.
And it's like the men of African origin is, they perceive law enforcement now perceives us as threat. And you could be Joe working in a factory with 20 years, no criminal record ever, and you get shot down the street like you was a murderer that just killed two cops in the same fashion and form, just because he perceived you as a threat. All the officer got to say is I felt threatened for my life, or all he got to say is gun, they open fire on you.
And that's that punk ass bullshit stand your ground law like they got in Florida where, I was in threat for my life. The origins of cops go all the way back to the days where we were treated like animals, and now they flipped that somehow and made it perceived that we're a threat. And it's not fair, it's not right, but at the same time, what have we ever really been able to do about it? They got the gun, the taser, the handcuffs, the badge, and the pen, which is the strongest thing they can have.
And if the men of African origin just come together and just talk, it can be for just 10 minutes and talk about the issues in the African communities, men of African origin communities. We can do so many things if we just come together and stop all this bickering on what side of the street you on, and I'm on this side of the street. I don't like you, so I'm going to shoot you. And it's like we're killing ourselves. We're like we doing the work of the KKK back in the 1800s. We doing the work for them instead of it's like, and then we get charged with murder, and they want to throw us in prison forever because the son and daughter that's in the law enforcement that call them how to get away with things is corrupt, and throw him in prison for the rest of his life or rest of their life, and then they don't have an opportunity to reproduce and teach their children what not to do, and their children grows up and becomes what they became. It's a cycle. It's a cycle. Cycle of life in everyday African men of African origin communities is all just a cycle. And the only way to break that cycle is just to start talking about the issues. If you just talk about the issues and what's going on instead of just yelling back and forth, because nothing gets done with yelling back and forth. If you just stop and talk just for 10 minutes to find out how your brother doing, how you doing, how your mama doing, how you mentally, how are you doing? I'm not doing good. And we could talk about the issues in our communities instead of just fussing about it and talking wrong about each other.
And to that, sir, I have to give you a... And that is what we stand for here on Jeremy Speaks on Everything. My mission is to get the males of African origin to start speaking to each other. And I'm issuing that challenge. Now, when this episode goes up on Facebook, which will probably be after I edit it tonight, and it'll probably go up tomorrow. But once this episode goes up, I'm going to tag 5 people in this episode. Starting tomorrow, I'm going to tag 5 people every day until I've spoken to 5 every day. And I'm going to screenshot the conversation so that I have the proof that I am indeed speaking to the men of African origin, because we have to speak to each other if we're going to protect ourselves. Nobody else is going to do it. The cops ain't going to do it. The politicians ain't going to do it. Nobody's going to do it except us. That's why I'm glad me and my actual brother have a chance to speak on the phone about this right now, because we're not sitting on the sidelines saying, oh, let's wait for the change. No, we are bringing the change simply by communicating. So I want to give out to any listener right now that call-in number, 347-994-3320. And if you're listening for the first time and you happen to look like us, feel free to inbox me on my Facebook and tell me or offer to come on the show so we can all talk about it. I got people on my Facebook I went to school with 20 years ago that I haven't spoken to in 20 years. That is a damn shame. I'll treat a stranger with complete kindness, but I'll like and share and all that shit on my photos, but I won't speak to you and ask you how your day going. So I would like to hand it off to you if you want to close. I got about 2 minutes, a minute and a half left. If you want to tell everybody about it, or you want me to just close out the show?
I close out the show.
No, you ain't closing out the show. I was just asking to be nice. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to thank my guest, my brother, Barry Strong. We call him Elijah because we actually love him. We call him Elijah. I want to thank him for coming on the show to talk to me today. It was fun. Give me a day or two, and I'll send you the link. Like, share, subscribe, comment, criticize everyone. Please, let's start talking to each other. I have been Jeremy Speaks, and this has been episode 11 of Jeremy Speaks on Everything. I want to wish you all a happy day. And black, oops, excuse me. Oh, got a boo. I wish I had a boo sound effect. Men of African origin, let's start talking to each other. Peace. Perimeter tactics, it's time for warfare. Yo, we came to battle, yo.